You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another fantastic episode. Great to have you here. And it's great to have my guest this episode. Let me tell you about my guest for this episode. So my guest was the owner and managing director of a UK industry-leading business, recognized by Insider Magazine as one of South Wales's top 20 entrepreneurs to watch. She had a happy marriage and a newborn son, and they lived in a lovely home in a sought-after area. Life was good. At least it was good until the business became insolvent, the marriage collapsed, she lost custody of her son, became personally bankrupt, and realized she was stuck in a cycle of abusive relationships and self-sabotage behavior. Now, for some people listening, I know that's going to sound very familiar. She went through a number of years of hell whilst trying to work out what had happened and how on earth to get out of the mess she was in and how to start living again. And that was when her mantra, whatever it takes, came to the fore. That's how she created both Light, Camera, Action and Step Into Your Spotlight programs. And knowing that she wanted to change and needed to change, she did what so many people don't do. She decided to do something about it. She rewrote her script, which started with her writing her books, Whatever It Takes, Living With, Leaving and Surviving Psychological Abuse, and Create Your Blockbuster Life, How to Step Out of the Wings into Your Spotlight. The books and coaching programs share her story and the steps it took to change her life. I mean, following those steps and deciding to rewrite her script to step out of the wings into her spotlight, which create her own blockbuster life, she changed the four main areas of her life. Now, she went from a place of being bankrupt with no income to having a savings plan and clearing all of her debts. Battles with weight and fitness became a thing of the past. She developed a healthy relationship with food, with alcohol and exercise to become fitter and healthier than she has ever been. After years of lurching from one abusive relationship to another, she met the love of her life and entered a truly equal, healthy relationship, which just gets better and better. And from being unemployed and unemployable, she got a job at the exact salary she was looking for, and with the holidays and pension that she wanted. She also realized a lifelong ambition of becoming a professional actor at the age of 42, and chose to undertake a BSc honors degree in psychology and counseling with the Open University. She no longer lives her life hiding in the wings, afraid of the spotlight. She has claimed her rightful place in her spotlight, living her blockbuster life. That is my guest this episode, Deborah Meredith. Deborah, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Keith. How are you?
I'm fabulous as always, thank you. Fabulous as always. It's great to have you here. You have accomplished so much and changed your life around in so many ways. Yeah. I know there is a lot we could talk about. We're keeping this short. So for me, the thing that really stands out of everything that you've gone through, it's all that abusive relationship side of thing. I think that's the bit that's really going to stand out for so many people. So, I'm guessing when you're in that sort of relationship, there is a lot of fear around the fear of staying stuck in that relationship, but also the fear of leaving that relationship. I mean, am I close there?
You are. It's quite difficult, actually, because a lot of people in abusive relationships don't actually realize it, and much was the case for me and is the case of lots of people I work with, because I now work with helping survivors of domestic abuse to rebuild their lives. And I thought I was unique, and you know, abusive relationships, they really pick away at your self-confidence, your self-esteem, your self-worth. So when I discovered having left the relationship, that it had been abusive. I just thought it was me and I was stupid, and how could I possibly have been taken in like that? But I was aware of when I was in that relationship, and unfortunately I'd had a number of other abusive relationships as well, that sense of treading on eggshells. And I think we're all familiar with that phrase. And there are times in our lives where we all feel like that. Maybe we've got a boss who's in a bad mood, or there's a family member who's angry about something. But when that becomes your day-to-day life, that becomes your normality. So you start spending all day long in fear of upsetting the person you're living with.
Yes, yes.
And that's very much how I unfortunately lived most of my adult life in relationships. And it's taken a long, long time for me to recognize that. And that's how a lot of other people in abusive relationships live on a day-to-day basis. So there's living in fear, but not being acutely aware that you're afraid, if that makes sense. But it's just that knowledge that if you put a cup in the wrong place, or you say the wrong word, or dinner is put on the table at the wrong time, or it's too hot or too cold, or the children make a noise, or the dog barks, or you haven't ironed a shirt correctly,
yeah,
that something is going to happen to punish you for that. Now, in some instances, it might be physical punishment. In other instances, it might be name calling. And again, it's that chipping away, that, oh, you stupid woman, why have you done this? You know I don't like that. Oh, you never get anything right. What would I expect of you? That sort of thing. And it's that fear of those insults, the physical abuse. And it's a horrible place to live. But when that becomes your normality, you think everybody else is living like that.
Yeah. I think you've hit on a very important point there. When that becomes your normality, you just assume that's how life is for everyone. I mean, how can you begin to realize that that's not actually how life is for everyone, and it's not how life should be for you? What how do you sort of first start going on that enlightenment, I guess, realizing this?
Well, for me, and it's something, if you read my books, you'll see this sort of theme running through it. It was very much my gut instinct. And something would happen, and I'd know deep down, well, this isn't right. But because I had no actual proof, I thought it was just me. And again, this is how abuse gets you. It makes you doubt yourself. So whilst this voice sort of in my gut was loud and clear, I chose to ignore it because I thought that I was incapable of making the right decision, that I was thinking the wrong thoughts. And why would I possibly think that about a man that loved me? So I started to ignore this voice, but it was always there. It was the one constant. And I got to a stage where, for me, when I left the psychologically abusive relationship, I had a son in that relationship, and he was about 3 years old. And one day, it was one weekend, and he came up to me and he said, "Mummy, please don't cry. Why are you crying? I love you." And I thought, he says that to me far too often. This isn't right. And my actual thought was, for the sake of my son, I need to leave, because this isn't a healthy environment for him to live in. But I left. I didn't think anything else needed to change. I was the one that left. I had no idea where I was going to go. So I decided that, putting my son's welfare first, I wasn't prepared to drag him around spare beds, spare sofas, spare rooms until I got myself settled. So I left him there. And hindsight's a marvelous tool. And I realized that that was very much the wrong thing to do after the event. However, that's another story. But for me, it was that gut instinct. And when I'm working with survivors of domestic abuse, they always say to me, "I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't put my finger on it." And it's very different if you're in a physically abusive relationship, which unfortunately I've been in.
Yes.
You know that it's wrong to hit somebody, male or female. It is wrong to be violent towards somebody else. So you have the evidence there. But even then, you're scared of leaving because your partner will tell you, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm never ever going to do this again. You made me do it, you wound me up so much. So of course you start believing it's your fault, and then you believe them that they're never going to do it again, because they'll treat you like a princess or a prince, you know, if you're in a same-sex relationship. They will treat you as if you are their number one priority, the absolute love of their life. And you end up in what's called this cycle of abuse, where you have a period of calm, and then gradually it starts to build up and build up and build up until all of a sudden, bang, it explodes again. And that might be physical, that might be a torrent of verbal abuse. You know, it might be other sorts of abuse. You know, there's economic, there's sexual abuse goes on in relationships, but all of them fit this cycle of abuse. So you have this period, this honeymoon period, if you will, after each attack, where you think, oh, it's okay, that it's not going to happen again. They mean it. And each time it happens, a little bit more of your self-worth, self-confidence, self-esteem is chipped away. So the next time it happens, you think, oh, this isn't right, but oh no, it's all right. They've said they're never going to do it again. And you keep giving them the benefit of the doubt. And it's actually, statistically, it takes an abused partner 35 attacks before they leave.
Wow. Say that again, because that's an important point there.
The victim of a domestic abuse statistically will be attacked 35 times before they make the decision to leave.
My goodness.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
You know, just I'm aware of that. I've been through it, and it still sends a shiver up my spine, that statistic.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, there's an awful lot of people that don't get out, because the fear of getting out, the fear of what their partner might do, keeps them where they are. And, you know, this is what we're talking about, the fear. So you're in a relationship that fills you with fear. And because of that fear, because you're left doubting your own ability to live life without your partner, who in that period, that honeymoon period, is telling you that they're going to look after you and you can't survive without them, and they'll do anything you want them to do because you love each other dearly. You believe them, and you think, well, if I do leave, where am I going to go? How am I going to survive? What am I going to use for income? How am I going to know which bus to catch? How am I going to get a car if you need transport? So all of these things go through your mind, and you think, actually, I'm better off where I am. So it becomes a case of, well, better the devil you know.
And it's
a horrible cycle, but that fear keeps you trapped in that relationship. You know, you're scared of the relationship, but you're scared of, how am I going to cope when I'm on my own? Because you don't know how to.
Which leads us to a great question. How do you end it and start over? Because as you say, you've got all those fears going on. How do you start over?
How do you start over? It's actually making the decision. Making the decision that this has to end is the toughest thing you have to do. Once you've made that decision, starting over is, I'm going to say, relatively easy. I mean, it is very difficult to start from nothing, and I don't want to dilute that at all. You need to be resolute, and you find a strength that you never knew you had. But making that decision to start over is step one in the process. Once you've made that decision, there's lots of agencies out there who can help you to start over. And if you are in an abusive relationship, particularly if there's children around, there's women's hostels, you've got refuge, you've got women's aid, etc., who will help you to get back on your feet. But, you know, if you are in that position and you speak to family, speak to friends, you will find that there will be people who will be prepared either to put you up, to lend you some money for a deposit on a rental property. And let's remember, if you're in that situation and you need to get out, you don't need to be renting a four-bedroom house. You just need somewhere, even if it's just a one-bedroom flat, you need somewhere for you, and if you have children, the kids, that is safe. You don't need to have everything that is required. You need somewhere to sit, somewhere to sleep, a kitchen and a bathroom, you know, something to cook on, somewhere to use the bathroom. It doesn't have to be your dream house. You'll get to your dream house at the end. For now, you need a place of safety, wherever that may be. And once you've got there, then you slowly start to build it. It's one step at a time, tiny, tiny steps. You know, it's things like, right, let's go out. Let's go and get benefits if that's what you need. Speak to citizens' advice. Maybe you need legal advice. You know, maybe it's about going out and just trying to find a little part-time job that will perhaps fit in with school hours. And it's taking a job that perhaps you don't really want to do. Anything that will give you a small sense of independence. You know, go and stack shelves. Go and be a petrol garage assistant. Yeah. You know, anything to give you that little bit of independence and that little bit of income so you can start again. Because once you've got that, then you give yourself breathing space. Then you can decide what you want to do and take steps to do that.
Yeah. Some very, very useful, very practical tips there. I like the way you say just each of these small little things, it all adds up. One question that kind of comes to my mind there, though, is I know that for some people in abusive relationships, there is the fear that what will my partner do when I leave? What if they track me down and find me? What if it makes them worse? What if it makes them attack me more? What will they do? How do you handle that sort of side of the things?
That's a really, really tough one. And if you are genuinely that scared, you ring the police. And what I learned from my own experiences, unfortunately, is this wonderful number 101, I think it is, for ringing the non-urgent police line.
Yeah.
You ring them and they keep a log of all of your calls. So that should something happen, they will know. So if you're not physically threatened, if you haven't got the person stood outside the front door threatening violence for you, 101, just track your fears. Let them record your fears. Aye. Because what I learned was very often what was going on in my own head, what I imagined was going to happen, was far, far worse than anything that did happen. And it's that classic case of standing up to the bully. You stand up to a bully, you shock them, they don't know where it's coming from. But that takes an awful lot of resolve. And it's taken me many, many years to get to a stage where I don't worry about that anymore. It's taken me years of actually getting through that experience or those experiences. It's taken me many, many months of counseling to get to the stage where I don't feel scared anymore. Don't get me wrong, there are still days where I have to deal, you know, he's my son's father. There are days I have to deal with him and I'm quaking in my boots. I'm absolutely quaking in my boots. But I now know there is nothing he can do to me that is any worse than anything he's already done. And I survived it. Now, yes. Luckily, he wasn't physically abusive, but my first husband was. Yeah. And that's where, if you are scared that you are in immediate danger of assault or worse, you ring 999. It's as simple as that. And don't sit there and think, oh, I'm just making a mountain out of a molehill here, because you're not. You know, 1 in 3 women are murdered by their partners. You know, it's these statistics are crazy, and the police would rather have it on their radar that you are at risk than come to your house and find a dead body.
Yes, that makes sense.
You know, logistically. Now, like I say, 101 was fantastic, because eventually for me, when I got to court, they were able to produce a long list of issues.
Right.
So they could see that this was consistent harassment.
Yes. So you've got that recorded log.
Yes. And it's all of those little things where you say, oh, this is ridiculous, this is irrelevant. you know, I carried notebooks in my handbag for many, many years, where I would write things down with a date and a time that they happened. So if I received a text message, if I received a phone call, an email, even a conversation, it made me feel scared, uneasy, I jotted it down so I had a note, and I kept track of it on my computer. So that combined with the log that 101 had, and in fact, in actual fact, it was them that telephoned me, it was them that told me I was in an abusive relationship. I phoned them one day, I left the relationship, and I'm feeling really scared. He's threatening to come and park outside my flat. He's telling me he's at my flat. He's telling me he's driven back and forth. I'm scared of what he's going to do. I'm too scared to leave. I don't think he'll come in, but I'm scared to leave. I don't know what to do. And I must have been on the phone to them for about an hour. They were fantastic. And they said, this is an abusive relationship. How long have you been in it? And I said, oh, well, I've left it now. I've been out of it for X number of months. And I said, is it really abusive? You know, this is crazy. I was questioning their expertise. I see day in, day out. So don't underestimate how helpful they can be. They might not turn up on the doorstep, but they will keep those notes for you, and it will help you in the long run.
That makes a lot of sense. So would you start using 101 to record these things after you've left, or would it make sense to kind of do that before you even reach the point of leaving?
If you're in a position when you're in the relationship and you're feeling scared, and you're too scared to stay but too scared to leave, you ring 101 and you get it logged. Because when you do leave, they need that log. Because if it continues, they need to know. Now, obviously, if you are in immediate danger, they will come around. They won't do anything without asking you unless they believe you're in immediate danger. I had a number of issues where I had to ask them to just, could they possibly drive by? I didn't want them to approach him. I didn't want him to know that I'd contacted the police. But could they just drive past my street while they were on their rounds, just so he could see that there was a presence locally? And it was little things like that that made a difference.
Wow. And clearly for you, everything that you've gone through there has enabled you to remove yourself from those abusive relationships and go on to actually develop a really powerful life, the life that you would deserve, I guess, to actually be you and be who you
absolutely
are. That's
absolutely
the thing you help countless other people with as well.
Yes, well, when I was going through it, and, you know, as I'd come out of it and managed to get myself a little flat, and I thought, this is crazy. I must have learned something from all of this. And that's just the person I am. I believe in learning from all of our experiences. And I thought, this has all been worth it if I can help just one other person avoid anything anywhere near similar to what I have been through. And that was not just the abusive relationships, it was the bankruptcy, it was the business failures, it was losing custody of my son, who I'm happy to say now lives with me. So it was learning the lessons from that. And that's why I started writing. Initially it was cathartic, and then a friend said, why don't you turn this into a book?
Nice.
That was it.
So, of course, you've now got a couple of books out there, and you've got
absolutely
programs, and so much stuff that you do that can help people in that sort of situation. For somebody who's in that situation, or perhaps somebody who knows of someone in that situation, or even just people who are just interested about that sort of thing, what's the best way for them to find out more or to even get in touch with you?
I think the best way to get hold of me and find out sort of what I'm doing is via my website, which is www.notarehearsal.co.uk. And on there are my coaching programs, my books, what's on, so any of the events I'm speaking at, any events I'm running. And I've got a blog up there, which, you know, hopefully inspires some people as well to show that, you know, life can be quite good if you just let it.
Brilliant. And I guess a very important source of inspiration, which people will get from that, is they're not on their own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the key. You know, you are never alone.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that, Deborah. I don't underestimate how powerful a transformation you've made there, and how deeply unsettling many of those experiences were. I thank you so much for taking a little time out of your life to share that with us.
Thank you, Keith.
And I hope people who've been watching or listening to this, I hope you've got a lot out of this as well. As Deborah said, the best way to find out more is to go to her website, www.notarehearsal.co.uk. If you go to the website for this show, keithblakemorenoble.com, go to the show there, find this episode, you'll find Deborah's contact details on her social media profiles, etc. As well, so you can really find the best way that works for you to get in touch with her. But that's basically it for today's episode. Thank you so much, Deborah, for taking time out to be with us. And thank you, dear listeners and dear viewers, for taking your time out to join us. I hope you've got something out of this. I hope you've learned something from Deborah's journey through her fears of being in such a relationship. And I find it really inspiring that there can be light at the end of the tunnel. Life can be so much better. And let's just leave you with Deborah's favorite quote. This is a quote from Henry Ford. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.